All right. Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw. It is April 28th. We're almost done with the month. Spring football over, Richie. We had the draft this weekend. We'll talk a whole bunch about all of that. But first of all, how's your weekend been?
Outstanding, man. Took my buddy, I had my wife reach out to his wife because he was supposed to go to a baby shower yesterday. And we were able to get him out of that and take him to the Magic versus Cavs game 4 yesterday. Big win for the Magic. Series tied at 2-2. People don't tune in to hear about the Magic, but that 37-10 third quarter and only giving up 29 points in the second half was a phenomenal environment. Big time vibes at the Kia Center. Looking forward to game 5, but also had a lot of fun seeing Noel after Noel after Noel after Noel get drafted, just popping up all over the place. Quite the draft. How about your weekend, TJ?
Yeah, it was good. I got back late last night from the bustling city of Scottsboro, Alabama, which is not too far from Huntsville, where Florida State had a team competing this weekend that we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, I took the big kids up there and got back late last night. I'm exhausted right now, but here to do this. So enjoy the draft. Enjoyed following the updates. I've never been a huge draft guy. Like I flip back and forth between the draft being live and watching it a little bit. But also there's like NBA playoff, there's NHL playoffs going on. Like I'd rather watch live sports like almost always than, you know, Roger Goodell, who has done great things for the league.
Hot take, the draft is boring.
Yeah, I'm not.
It's just boring. Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you when the draft was fun. I went to, I think the draft when the Bucks took Evans, I think they took him number 5 overall. I went to a draft party at Raymond James, and that was great because we picked number 5. We picked like an hour into the thing, less than that even. And that was phenomenal. I would, if we would have picked 28th, though, no chance I would have gone to that.
So I was telling you earlier, I was on the board for the Seminole Club of Greater Orlando, and we hosted a draft party at Friendly Confines here in Orlando the year Jameis went number 1. So it was perfect because Jameis got picked, and we all left. That was it. Yeah.
Phenomenal. Yeah. So I remember watching that one. I didn't go to a Bucks draft party, but we did kind of like do a little party at home. I was nervous right before they called it. I knew all week that since January that he was going to be the number 1 pick. I mean, it was nerve wracking like that last second, like, all right, please don't let me get fooled here. But yeah, a lot of fun with the draft this weekend and then traveling a little bit and running all around. So a good weekend for sure. Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their locations in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, 2870 Appalachia Parkway. They're up in Thomasville as well, up there close to where Harlan lives. If you're in the Atlanta area, they have some up there. We work specifically with the Tallahassee locations, the Thomasville location owned by the same person. I think he has one more too over maybe in the panhandle. But for sure, if you're in Tallahassee, if you're in South Georgia, wherever you may be, make sure that you hit Guthrie's, and we appreciate them for their support. All right, Florida State dominates the NFL draft in a way that hasn't been done since, remember, Richie, 2014 was the draft.
Where they
sent 11 guys to the NFL draft, this time with 10 guys going to the draft, the second most in school history. Honestly, they were, I think, maybe third or fourth overall in total draft picks again this year for the entire nation. And, you know, Michigan finished number 1. I think they had 4 guys taken in the 7th. They still count. I get it. Florida State had a couple of guys in the 7th as well. But honestly, Florida State just dominates. 6 guys
taken. Our quarterback wasn't available for the postseason, TJ.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. So then nothing counts. 6 guys in the top 100. And we'll start at the top. We'll talk about some of these, some fits. And, looking out at what next year's draft might be, it also looks like it could be really, really special. But starting at the top with Jared Verse, number 1 round, number 19 overall, goes to L.A. in a place that, you know, lost Aaron Donald, now gets Jared Verse in and another guy that we'll talk about here in just a minute. But I'm excited for Jared. Okay, I'm always more excited for guys to go to teams that are going to be somewhat competitive and actually good. And I think the Rams, they underwhelmed this year for sure. Fringe playoff team, made it in, didn't win a game, lost to the Lions. But I think they have a good team there. And I think LA has a chance to be competitive. And that's honestly what you want for these guys is to go to a good situation where they can go in and hopefully win a lot of games.
Yeah, you want a good fit, and we're going to talk about a receiver who I think found a phenomenal fit here shortly. But yeah, Jared Verse going into LA, I think that's just awesome for him. I saw he and his family were in Phoenix from watching the draft. You know, McVay even said, you know, oh, so good. You got a short flight to LA, so we'll get you here. And, you know, Jared Verse, to be a zero-star recruit that ends up at Albany, and then all because of the COVID situation, then transfers to Florida State. Everybody wanted him. Mike Norvell got him. And he just delivered on every expectation I think we all had at Florida State for him. And now to see him be a first-round pick, a top 20 pick in the NFL draft. You know, his dad was nearly in tears in that video on X, if you watched it, saying, you know, we did it, we did it. That was just, I love the family situations more than just the player themselves getting drafted. Just seeing that and how the family reacts and how happy they were and knowing where he came from in terms of, again, a zero-star recruit that ends up at Albany to ending up at Florida State, going 13-0 and then being a first-round draft pick. That was just so cool to see, and I expect big things out of Jared in Los Angeles with the Rams.
Yeah, Jared was a fringe first-rounder last year, maybe an early second-round guy, and somebody who showed if you come back and do things the right way and put a lot of tape back out, you guarantee yourself a first-round draft pick. No one doubted that he was going to go the first round this time. Big shout-out to the Battles End for getting him back. A fringe second-rounder, fringe first rounder is, you know, they don't come back a lot of times. A lot of guys leave and go in the second round.
And they shouldn't outside of that NIL. But yeah.
To get him back, to get him, you know, there for another year, big, big shout out. So, again, I tweeted this during the draft. If you were enjoying watching six guys go in the top 100 and then 10 guys go overall, you should probably sign up and be a Battles End member. Because what they're doing for retention and what they're doing with this roster is really pretty phenomenal. And so make sure that you are supporting there. You talked about a wide receiver getting a good fit. Keon going to the Bills is a ton of fun. There are, I mean, you know, you can like him, not like him, whatever. Josh Allen's a top five quarterback in this league. And they've
three,
had their,
in my opinion. Yeah.
They've had their playoff struggles, but he is really good. And that is a phenomenal situation for Keon Coleman. I am so excited for him. Did you see his press conferences though? Like, did you see, like,
when he's sharing snacks with the press,
bro,
and everything?
He was great again to the Battles End. Like, he's got some good Battles End videos that you should go like search Keon Coleman, the Battles End, and he's got some
Waffle
funny
House
stuff.
Yeah,
talking about Waffle House and other, but anyway, Keon, round two, number 33 overall. There's a whole lot of trolling. Like, we think about the draft in rounds. In all reality, the draft is very linear. Keon goes first pick of the second round to a phenomenal situation in Buffalo.
Yeah, instantly, you know, it's Buffalo and Kansas City when you think of 1 and 2 in the AFC, right? Yeah. And Josh Allen is probably, unfortunately, the second best quarterback in the AFC next to Josh Allen, or next to Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But, man, I could not think of a better situation for Keon to go into. You know, I would have loved him to end up in Tampa Bay. He's in Buffalo. He's used to the cold weather. You know, he was at Michigan State for a while. But yeah, just a great situation. I think he's an instant. I don't think he's a, you know, wide receiver one, but he's on the field for probably 50 plus snaps a game as a rookie with a top three quarterback in the league throwing him the ball. Man, that was just a phenomenal situation. I know the money hits a little different from first round to second round, even though you're the first pick in the second round, but man, I just think Keon Coleman found himself in a phenomenal spot there.
Yeah, and most money is made on your second contract.
Exactly.
So you got a chance to make up for all of that, you know, one pick difference. And again, the situation that he is going to is pretty special. Not that 32 would be bad.
I can't think of a better situation, honestly. Like,
to me, the moment of the weekend was Braden Fisk's
yes.
call. You know, and I guess we could have played that, but you can go search it. You know, the you've probably already even seen it. The Rams call where they're trying to get Jared to be the one to make the call.
Stuck in traffic.
He's stuck in traffic, and they're showing it from both angles. Well, really all three angles. Braden, the, you know, McVay, and Jared in traffic. They finally hand Jared the phone, and that was the first thing that yeah. I think Braden realized when they called him. He said, I get to play with Jared. And, you know, there's yes. a lot of talk about culture and taking these portal mercenaries and this, that, and the other, and people that don't want to adjust to how the game is played now. But the bond that those two have, and him breaking down crying, I'm sitting there in, you know, middle of nowhere, Alabama, watching this video, like crying. I'm like, what are we doing here? Really cool to see. Braden Fisk went, sixth overall in the second round, 39th pick. Really cool to see him get to play with Jared. And man, that defensive line, if they keep it together, that defensive line could be really nasty for a long time for the Rams. But again, really, really cool to see the verse Fisk moment and get to see those guys kind of go at it, you know, going forward.
I'm going to stop short of, the somewhat satire, Aaron Donald who, because now you got Braden Fisk, but I do think that's a great landing spot as well. And, you know, the call you're talking about was awesome, where you see Braden, you know, kind of just on the phone with the GM, then with McVay, and then you see Jared like running up the stairs, like trying to get to that phone as soon as possible, mm-hmm. saying, "Yeah, we get to play together." And I love the Jared versus press conference. I don't know if you saw this one, TJ. You know, he talked about the work, something Mike Norvell preaches day in and day out. And he said, "I don't know if there's anybody who's worked as hard as me other than Fisk." He's like, yeah. "That's the only guy that does it." And just to see them, you know, back in LA, man, I hope Hard Knocks ends up with the Rams this year, because that would be a ton of fun. I want to see their initiation, you know, them doing they have to sing or whatever they have to do. But man, I just can't wait for that. I think Fisk is going to be I think both Fisk and Verse could be 10-year vets. And I'm just looking forward to watching. I'm going to be watching a lot of Rams games next year, is what I figured out, TJ, which I don't really want to, but I'm going to have to at this point.
Renardo Green goes in the second round as well. Super excited there. Where did Renardo go?
Renardo, he went to the 49ers, didn't he?
Yeah. Renardo Green to San Francisco. Sneaks in there at the end of the second round. Again, a really good situation for a guy that you want to see really good things for. Sneaks into the end of the second round and, immediately on a title contender. And a guy who just got better and better as his career went on. I'll skip one and then say really exciting for Jerrion Jones as well, who goes to Jacksonville, maybe not as much of a contender, but gets to stay somewhat close to where he played college ball. And Jacksonville's kind of up and down, right? Like we'll see kind of like what the future holds there. But both those guys, second and third rounders, I think if I'd have told you that Renardo Green and Jerrion Jones were going to be day two guys, you know, a couple years ago, you'd have been like, no way, get the heck out of here. But impressive to see what both those guys could do and make it their high draft picks. Again, DBU.
Yeah, really excited for Renardo, a Central Florida guy from Apopka. A guy that came into Florida State and like, okay, well, you know, it's, you know, he was a filler in the class. And then this year, he ended up being the best corner we had, in my opinion. Like, he was phenomenal. And Jerrion, the transfer, who spent 3 years here, so, you know, it's not your typical transfer, but just shows the development that we have going on at Florida State right now. I loved it. And, you know, if Trevor Lawrence plays out, you know, I follow way too many Jags fans on Twitter where I feel like their management is a mess just by following these people. But hopefully it works out for him there as well, because I think Jerrion's, he's a dog, man. That guy can play.
Yeah. Trey Benson goes early in the third round to Arizona. We talk about fit. We talk about landing spot. I mean, he's going to get a ton of burn there. I don't know where Arizona kind of sits in the middle of everything, but Trey Benson, ultimately the second running back taken in this draft. A lot of people had him as RB1. And a guy who, again, stay healthy, go make a difference. Maybe Arizona turns around. Maybe you go and find a better place in a couple of years. But excited for Trey Benson. And then his buddy, Jordan Travis, goes in the fifth round. We skipped the fourth round. We hit everything else this draft. I was two guys that were really just phenomenal, and Jordan probably on a different level, but just great Seminoles here multiple years. Jordan's turnaround is insane. It was exciting to see both of them go. Jordan with the Jets, I'm excited about. Learn behind Aaron Rodgers. you know, I don't know what Jordan's long-term prospects are in this league. I don't pretend to be like the quarterback guru of who's going to make it, who's not. You know, I know that there was a guy taken in the sixth round one time that ended up being really, really good. So, you know, we'll see, but excited for both those guys. Benson in the third, Jordan in the fifth.
Yeah, Benson was, what, the second or third running back taken. You know, a guy that had six carries at Oregon, a really nasty injury, not very sought after in the portal. Again, we're talking the portal, and Norvell said, I can make you work in this offense, and turns him into a high draft pick, especially for running back, because running backs just are not really sought after anymore in the NFL draft, at least not in today's league. It's quarterbacks, receivers, who can block and who can get after the quarterback. But really happy for Trey, and you know, saw Devin, who's been on our show multiple times, Jordan's brother. Super excited for Jordan to end up at the Jets. You know, Jordan's a guy, TJ, that when he got here that first spring, you watch him throw the ball, you're like, this is not a Power 5 quarterback. Like, why did Willie just panic and bring him in just because he didn't have a quarterback? But no, he ended up proving all of us wrong. Because if you said from day one you thought you were a Jordan Travis believer, I call BS. I don't believe you at all, because what his turnaround was phenomenal. Shout out Mike Norvell, you know, Tony Torquez, everyone involved in that. But and most importantly, Jordan Travis himself, who put in the work and turned himself into a NFL draft pick. Again, we talked about situations, TJ, right behind Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how long that guy has left in the league, maybe 2 years max, I'd say. Jordan may have a chance, you know, and I don't know if he'll ever be a you know, QB1 in the league, but if he can be a 10-year backup, that's the best job in America.
Yeah. Finish out with a few guys here. Johnny Wilson, sixth round. Jaheim Bell, seventh round. There was a lot of talk about, like, should these guys have come back and played another year?
No.
You know, I honestly, you know, I don't know. I don't know that they improve their... You know, if Johnny comes back and just goes berserk and really gets rid of a lot of the injury issues that kind of plagued him this year,
the
drop issues, yeah. maybe he improves up to a third, fourth round pick, maybe even higher. You know, his frame and size are pretty big, but as somebody who had a few injuries, some concussion stuff this year, the NFL has a much better insurance policy. They also, I mean, I'm sure the Battles End would have taken care of Johnny Wilson had he come back. Like, I don't have any doubts about that. But still not quite like NFL money. How much would he really have improved his stock? And then you're putting a lot of miles on the tires, you know, in college. Again, same thing with Bell. I mean, Jaheim Bell was not, to me, maybe improves it by a round max, you know. Yeah. But I don't know. Jaheim Bell's size, I don't know that he really improves it too much. And so I think those guys probably made the right decision. I'd love to have both of them back, don't get me wrong, but I think they probably made the right decision in going. Tatum Bethune, kind of a surprise pick there at the end, goes in the seventh round as well. And then a couple of undrafted free agent signings, Akeem Dent to the Chargers, Kalen DeLoge to our Bucks, and yes, then Abo going to Kansas City. I think that's a great fit. It's tough to make a roster as an undrafted free agent, but Kansas City certainly has a lot of things to figure out on offense. They had a good defense this year, but man, getting in the middle there and mixing it up on that D line could be really big for Fabo. So I'd love if he could make it. That'd be really cool if he could. I mean, if he makes a roster, he's going to go get a Super Bowl ring this year. So that'd be awesome for him. But yeah, Florida State ends up with 10 guys drafted, a couple of undrafted free agent signings afterwards, and an overall great weekend for the Noles. I think they had, you know, what did Miami had three guys and Florida had one guy. So Florida State more than doubled them up in draft picks this weekend. In fact, I think you could add Florida, Miami, and UCF all together, and Florida State still had more draft picks than everybody else in the state of Florida. So great weekend for Mike Norvell and the Seminoles. And I mean, you can stamp it right now. I think we have the most draft picks next year too. So write me down for us repeating as back-to-back draft champions, if that's a thing.
Yeah, no, I love it. And, you know, I'm pulling up a Jerrion Jones tweet right now, and he says, if you want to be the best, come play and get developed by the best. All we got, all we need. Just love that from Jerrion Jones. You know, he quote tweeted Mike Norvell when he tweeted about his being drafted, just, you know, there's a lot of talk about culture and people say, what really is that? Nah, the culture is real at Florida State. And you see that in these players after they're drafted, still, you know, talking very highly of Florida State and Coach Norvell. And we have a great thing going on right now. Love seeing all these players drafted. And to your point, even the undrafted free agents ending up in good spots, you know, where, you know, they might end up on a practice squad, which is fine, because if you've watched enough NFL, you know that by week four, you could be called up from the practice squad. Like, hey, we got an injury. We need somebody. We need you right now. And I truly believe all of these guys will put in the work, as Mike Norvell says, and be ready if their number is called, which it will be for some of these players.
Yeah, no, really good stuff. And yeah, there is the narrative around, you know, development. We've had a lot of fun with that. We've poked a lot of fun at Miami for that. And, you know, just talked about it a bunch, but, you know, this staff is not perfect at everything by any means. And, no. There are things that I think they can improve on, but at the end of the day, I think that Mike Norvell values development. I think he values guys that can develop players over guys that just go out and just recruit their tails off and then can't develop guys. You know, Miami had the number 12 most talented roster in college football last year. They put three guys in the NFL, a couple of them in the seventh round.
In the ACC.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know. And same thing with UF. UF had a top 15 talented roster this year. They put one guy in the NFL. And so, you know, I think for any faults or shortcomings that you find with this staff, they are some of the best developers in college football. And
talk about hit rate in the transfer portal, TJ, because like Florida State, people like, oh, they're just transfer portal you. No, they just hit on every single transfer. There's plenty of schools that take more transfers, but Florida State hits on them and develops them, like a Trey Benson, who had nowhere to go, a Johnny Wilson, who had no options really outside of Florida State. That's what Mike Norvell's done. He can identify these people in the portal, bring them to Florida State, and turn them into NFL draft picks. And that is something he can sell. I would hate if I was a college coach to have to go head to head with Mike Norvell in the transfer portal for a recruit, because Norvell has everything to sell, especially after this weekend, TJ.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it just gets better and better next year, and we continue to see those numbers climb, no pun intended. So, all right, we can cut that one there, Harlan, and then just kind of keep rolling into Florida State. Had a court case tossed out this week, Richie, but it's not that dramatic. Basically, just the judge said you need to refile some stuff. They get a do-over. It's kind of embarrassing. I talked with Mike Rohan about, or not Mike, Doug Rohan about, but it might provide them an advantage to kind of retool their argument, to include some of the language that Clemson used. And so we'll kind of see how it all pans out, but Florida State will be refiling in the state of Florida. We should have update on that maybe mid-May. And then they're back in court this week, on the 2nd, I believe, in North Carolina, trying to get the hearing from North Carolina tossed out. We'll see if anything comes of that or not, but still trudging along, Richie, still trying to get out of this conference.
Yeah, it's a long drawn out process, and I really appreciate Doug, you know, for hopping on with you to do updates after every hearing. But man, it's one of those things, like you're trying to see the end in sight, and I just don't see the end in sight right now. And you hope we get it before August, when Florida State has to officially, you know, give notice that they are withdrawing from the ACC. I've said from the beginning, and I by no means a lawyer, I never went to law school, none of that. But from the start, I thought this ends with a settlement. It's just a number that Florida State has to be comfortable with. I think they're going to get there, and I think they'll get there before August, and I think they will officially withdraw from the ACC this year and be, in my opinion, in the Big Ten next year. But we'll see. It's just such a long, drawn-out process, and all of these hearings. You know, I was watching live from my work computer last week, and it's like, man, this is just – boring, because I don't know any of this language these guys are talking about. So appreciate Doug Rohan for helping us out, because I am clueless when I watch these things live.
Yeah, I don't even watch him live. I follow his tweets a little bit. Rohan Law, you can go check him out on social media, on Twitter, X, whatever. But I don't even follow it live because I can't understand it. I, you know, his updates afterward when he comes on the show here on on YouTube. So if you're not over there, you should go subscribe so you don't miss it. But yeah, I just wait for the YouTube show. I've stopped watching live because it's all like way over my head. So
I will say the judge does seem to like want to help Florida State. He's like, well, do this. Like I will say we have at least in the Florida case, I do think we have a very favorable judge.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we're in a really good spot. There, North Carolina, maybe not as much, but again, I think he's really fair. I think the Florida judge is less fair, just for what it's worth, but he's less fair and kind of angled towards us. So I'm good with the hometown cooking. Quick around the horn, Richie, and then we'll do some shout outs and get out of here. But Florida State baseball and softball win the series against a couple Tobacco Road schools. They're both playing right now as we're recording, and so don't know the final result of Game 3 of either series. Hopefully they've swept. But Florida State softball beats the heck out of Florida midweek and then wins the series against UNC. Their RPI is up to 10th at the time of recording this. Nice. They're getting really close to potentially being able to host a super regional. I don't know if that'll happen or not. If they win out, it probably will. If they can beat UNC today and then win their last three regular season games and then go 3-0 in the ACC tournament to claim both the ACC championship and the tournament championship, I think they would host a super regional. At that point, I think they'd have like a 6 or 7 RPI, which would probably get them in, probably get them voted up around the top 10 and then host one. And then baseball is up to the number 4 RPI in the country. Again, that's while the game's going on.
Crazy.
They beat Duke 2 games to start the series. We'll see how the third one goes. If they were to sweep Duke on the road, a top 6 team in the country, 3 quad 1 wins, I think they would host a super regional if they'd be in line to. They'd be a national seed. As long as they don't have like a complete fall off, get swept in a couple series, lose some midweeks, you know, whatever. I think they'd be in line. I think if they just tread water, if they just, you know, go 500 the rest of the way, they will host a regional. They'd have to fall off pretty hard, I think, to not host a regional at this point. And so I think they're in a really good spot. I think they're, you know, both teams kind of rolling really, really well. And then, I'll throw this in too. I took my kids up for the beach volleyball conference championship. They rolled through that to win it, and they are the number 4 overall seed for the national championships, which will be this upcoming weekend. So a lot of good stuff going on in the spring sports at FSU as well.
Who's 1 and 2? Is it USC and UCLA?
I think so. Yeah.
We'll just assume. But shout out Coach. This softball team that. You know, to start the season, I'm like, oh, what is this? This is not Florida State softball. And now they've won, 22 of 23 games? I mean, they just have truly come back. And shout out Link, because our baseball team last year was terrible. Like, we tried to, you know, put lipstick on a pig, so to speak, and say, oh, you know, they did this well. Now you don't have to try and find things they're doing well. They just do everything well. They pick up the ball. They hit the ball. Really excited, and if they can sweep Duke, that would be phenomenal. I'm probably gonna hop off here, TJ, go sit on the couch and watch that game.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then you know, because the Magic don't play again for a few nights, so I'm good. But yeah, I'm excited, man, that both Diamond Sports are doing outstanding. And you know, beach volleyball's been close. They've been to the final multiple times for the national title. Hopefully this is the year they get it done. Brooke Niles, amazing coach. We've had her on the show before. Always cheering for her and the girls, and just really looking forward to seeing, you know, all the great sports. We are spoiled, TJ, as the fans of Florida State University, of all the athletic talent that we have.
It is a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, I think Florida State has really great coaches a lot of places. And this is not to say anybody, but like, I'll tell you, Coach Niles is one of the most down to earth, just like chill, good people. I mean, at the same time, she coaches beach volleyball. So like, you got to be somewhat chilled. Like, you know, like nobody, I was one of like 6 people out there that was wearing shoes yesterday. People don't even wear shoes. Like, they're just out there like barefoot in the sand and the grass, and it's a chill sport. You know, it got intense there. You know, South Carolina had a bit of a lead, but I'll tell you, Coach Niles is one of the most sincere, humble, just kind people to be around. And awesome. her team really takes that on too. Like, they always come up to my kids and like play with them after the matches and stuff. Like, you know, a lot of the team does, but you know, Dev's sister, McKenna Flaherty, does a lot, and you know, Anna Long and stuff. Like, they really do a good job of coming up to people and saying, like, thank you for coming, because I do think they really appreciate the sport. And I think a lot of that comes from Coach Niles, who does a great job. And, I mean, you know, I think Link's a great guy too, and Coach and stuff. But, like, they it's fun to support, you know, teams that are really, really good. Baseball is like top eight right now. They'll probably be close to top five after this weekend, especially if they can get the sweep. And then softball will kind of keep climbing, maybe get close up to six. So, it's a lot of fun to support these teams. And I know that most of you turn in for football, but there's a lot of good stuff going on outside of football as well that you should spend a couple minutes. You don't have to watch every game or see every single thing that happens, but you should check it out if and when you can. So, Richie, all that said, any shout outs before we get out of here?
Shout out Jonathan Isaac, who came in and went 4 for 6 from deep for the Magic yesterday. TJ, honestly, one of the most fun professional basketball games I've ever been to. Being down by 9 at half, Isaac goes off and we have a 20-point lead to start the fourth quarter. That was phenomenal. So shout out the Florida State alum, Coach Ham, John Isaac, for showing up.
That's dope. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know that I have any shout outs. Shout out the beach volleyball team for winning their conference championship. USC, yeah. UCLA, Stanford, your top three seeds. They are so freaking good. But if you can just get an upset, it's a single elimination tournament this time. So if you can just get an upset somewhere, you give yourself a chance. So it'd be awesome to win that thing. But again, just the consistency there of going to the national championship every single year that I can remember for Coach Niles is pretty special. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Get on over to our YouTube. If you haven't already, we will certainly make sure that we take care of you guys with some updates on the ACC stuff this week with Doug Rohan. Make sure that you lock in over there. We appreciate you guys for tuning in, and we will talk to you soon. Go Noles.